Jesus is preparing us a place. This world is not my home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know me, I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me for this one thing I know. For my Savior's pardoned me, and now I onward go. And I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. No, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just over in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory, and their songs of sweetest praise drip back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. No, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world
anymore. That's a good message in that song I'm singing a while ago. This world's not our home. We are. We're just passing through. And one of these days we're going to get there. Sure we will. Let's praise our Lord this morning. Y'all stand with us on this first song. How great is our God.
How great is our God.
our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hand, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The God
name above all names. Jesus, your King is my Lord. Can you say that? Can you say He is my Lord? He is the King.
You, my King, would die for me.
Over in 1 John, the Bible tells us, I write these things unto you, brethren, that you may know you have eternal life. Like, Bull Brannan, he said, this ain't no think so, maybe so, hope so deal. The Bible tells us you can know you have eternal life through accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we give you praise this morning, Lord. Because you are Lord, you are our King. God, it's just such a glorious time to be able to come here and lift up praises to the name of our Lord Jesus. Father, I pray for Brother John this morning. Give him the words, let your spirit speak and move through him that you'd have for all of us here to hear this morning. Father, we love you and we thank you so much for loving us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
What a wonderful time of worship. I hope you worship God, remembering that we're not here to watch a performance, but we're here to be a choir, to give worship to the one who's worthy, the one who's worthy. They're not a choir of worthy people in heaven. There's one who's worthy, and everybody's focused on him, and I hope you took that opportunity. Now, for those here who are going to go out with Nani, I think most of them already left, Nani. Ready? Break. They took off without you. I'm going to read the scripture to us, starting in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15, and then we're going to bounce over to chapter 19. And we're going to catch a worship scene that's happening in heaven. We're going to check it out. Maybe we'll catch that vision and we'll worship too. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give You thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the One who is and who was and who is to come, because You have taken Your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and Your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that You should reward Your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear Your name, small and great, and that You should destroy those who destroy the earth." Keep your finger there and jump to Revelation 19. And I'm going to start in verse 1. "After these things I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, 'Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, because He has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and He has avenged on her the blood of His servants shed by her.' Again they said, 'Alleluia! Her smoke rises up forever and ever.' And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, 'Amen and Alleluia.' Then a voice came from the throne saying, 'Praise our God, all you His servants and those who fear Him, both small and great.' And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude as the sound of many waters and as the sound of a mighty thundering, saying, 'Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns.'" We're going to jump down to verse 11, same chapter. "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and He who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness He judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns. He had a name written on Him that no one knew except Himself. And He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed Him on white horses. Now out of His mouth goes a sharp sword. With it He shall strike the nations, and He Himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He Himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And He has on His robe and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Let's pray. Father God, we gathered here, we are small. But Father, would You give us a vision of Your greatness, of the great power with which You're going to reign, Your matchless authority and strength and honor, Your glory that shines forth, the fact that You're going to set right every wrong, every inequity, every injustice, that this world that You created to be good, that has gone so far off track, will be good because of Your doing, because of Your rule and Your reign. Father, would You help Your people to come on Your side, to worship You unashamed, to give You all the glory. Oh, Father, we do love You. Help us to become those who worship You out of respect, out of fear, out of love, out of gratitude. Help us, Father, to pour those things out and realize no one is worthy of worship except for You. Oh, Lord, we do love You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage of Scripture is awesome. I was going to say it's insane, and it kind of is. And it's talking about the consummation of all things, the coming of the kingdom of God, the last trumpet sound, which if you know your Bible, you know the significance of it. At the last trumpet, things will change. At the last trumpet, these things in our world will no longer operate the way they always have. And the Lord Himself will take control and rule and reign in His power openly, publicly, wonderfully, eternally. And it won't ever change out of His hands again. God is developing a kingdom that won't pass down to the next generation or the next party or be dependent on the next election. God has a kingdom that will last forever and ever. Amen. And as people who have seen this and have recognized that He being God and He being glorious, they have had one response. It's the same response that these 24 elders have had. And their response has been to fall on their face and worship God. Now, it appears to me, and it seems to me, myself included in this, we've come to be awfully comfortable in the world in which we live. We've gotten so used to our routine. We've become so dignified. I debated as I worshiped over there, shouldn't I fall on my face? Because God has given me an idea of who He is through His Word and through His Spirit. I know that I've been saved by the grace of God. I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior and what He's done for me. I know that He's preparing a place for me in heaven. If it weren't so, Jesus would have told me so. These are things I know. And how is it that I continue to keep my dignity to impress you or not to disturb you? As opposed to saying, I'm going to worship Him and not care what you think about me. How is it that I've protected my dignity? How is it that I protect my normalcy of life when I know where this world is heading? There's an inevitability, and I bet you all of you feel it. Bet you all know it. It seems to even be stronger that we can sense this in the pit of our stomach and the back of our mind. Inevitability that things cannot continue on the way they are going. That the course that this whole world, the current that we are floating down, that there is a waterfall at the end. That it seems like we've already passed the sign that says, point of no return, you can't go back, you're going to go over the falls. I don't know if I'm the only one who has sensed that, but there's an inevitability to the fact that our God, that the Lord Jesus Christ, that God, the only God, is going to reign and rule in this place. And I know there's all kind of important issues that we get involved in. I know there's all kind of stuff that we got to worry about, the responsibilities that we got to take care of. And we ought to. We ought not shuck those things off. But can I suggest this? We ought to get to a place of worship, overwhelmed by who God is, to where we are motivated to walk with Him, to talk with Him, to sing His praises. What a glorious time. I mean, I was just, and I praise God. You always get more when you do the sermon, when you study the lesson. So any of y'all who want to maybe have thought about being teachers and you thought, well, I can't do that or I can't do this. You always get more when you prepare than what you get when you hear. You always eat more. You catch more of the vision when you're preparing and when you're looking into the Word. And God captured my mind. And I'm sitting over there thinking, there's nothing I can do that would be worthy, but Lord, let me at least speak and share the witness about how great You are. Because He is great. The 24 elders, these guys are in heaven, representing the church body, representing the people of God. And they have thrones in heaven. They have crowns in heaven. And they're dignified in heaven around the throne room of God. But do you know what they do? When they look onto the Lord and they realize His great power, they do the one thing they can do. They fall on their face and they worship Him. This is what they do. Over in chapter 5, we read where they cast their crowns before Him because He's worthy of worship. That's the thing that they can do. What can you do to worship God? What can you give to acknowledge the inevitable King of Kings and Lord of Lords? There's a hymn, there's a chorus in our hymnals. It's called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It always sounds a little tribal to me. when I sing it, but it was King of Kings and Lord of Lords, glory, hallelujah. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, glory, hallelujah. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to tell you what you can give. You know what the Bible tells us we can give? Don't clap, I don't got a lot of time and there's more songs to sing. Listen, you know what you can give? You know what the Bible says you can give? And it's so blessedly easy for us if we will let ourselves go. It says, give God the fruit of your lips, the praise from your mouth. Lift up your heart and sing. And there's something so attractive about the people of God who are fascinated and overwhelmed with who God is. And they just lift their voice and sing. And they worship. You know, we don't gather up here and put the band up here because we're obligated to. It's not part of the Baptist handbook that says you just got to do it. We do it because God is worthy of it. We do it because it's good. We do it looking forward and saying, this one who died to be my Savior is going to live and lives to be my Lord and my God and my King, and I want to be about praising Him and giving Him all the worship I can afford. There's a song, I don't know the words to it, I know part of it, but oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Oh, there's other ones that say, if the sky was a scroll and my words were like the pen that wrote on it, I would fill it up and it still wouldn't be worth it. We need to catch a glimpse of who God is and start saying, yes, I will praise Him. You might struggle. Y'all, we all struggle with being a Christian witness. You know, we struggle evangelizing. We struggle in a lot of ways. I wish I could tell you, well, just fall apart and be easy. I'm going to tell you something. It'd be a lot easier if you would open your mouth first to worship God. If you would open up your mouth first to pray to God. If you would open up your mouth first in that relationship, you'll find all those other things that we share with mankind would be a lot easier. And it's the place where we ought to start. We ought to just worship Him. Now, this passage of Scripture, I know I read a bunch. I'm not going to try to cover it all. My watch is working. For you who were here last week, and my watch stopped in the middle of the sermon. Anyways, you all know what happened. Y'all, listen. There is a time limit. There's an inevitability. Revelation 11:15 says, then the seventh angel sounded. There's going to be a specific then. When the last trumpet is sounded. And when that trumpet sounds, it's not a matter of earthquakes and any other warnings. The first three trumpets warned humanity that God is in control of this planet we live on. And He tweaks the elements until everybody knows that they're not in control of the sun, moon, stars, sky, sea, land, plants, water, all those things, that God's in control of them. The next three trumpets get even more personal. And God says, you're not in control of your own life. Watch what I can do to you. Not out of meanness. Those are all warnings. God has been warning people to return to Him and worship Him for a long, long time. We come up as preachers, we come to church and we hear warnings. We hear it when we look into the Word. There's been warnings. Come back to me, return to me. They wouldn't return. They wouldn't give God glory. And so He begins to get more personal. And He lets them know that He can do things to touch them. That's what those next three warnings of the trumpet is. But this last trumpet isn't a warning. This last trumpet is the end. This last trumpet opens up seven bowls of wrath. This last trumpet is when the Lord God, He comes and He takes over. You go on back and read in Matthew chapter 24 what happens when the trumpet is blown. In 1 Corinthians 15 when the last trumpet is blown. In 1 Thessalonians 4 when the trumpet is blown. I'm going to tell you what happens. Our God, Christ, comes to reign. This is what is going to happen. And we have the opportunity to worship Him now. And it's going to happen. It's inevitable. Okay? But let me tell you what else about it. Oh, and I'm not trying to even stick. I'm looking at all this stuff. And I can't. This is one of my favorite verses. 11:15 has come up with me so many times. Let me point out one thing about it. In most of your Bibles, it's going to say kingdoms. And the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. In the original, there's some that suggest that it's really singular. And the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and is looking to the defeat of the ultimate adversary, the one who usurped our ancestors, Adam and Eve, and took the deed to this ball of dirt that had fallen into sin, the one who offered our Lord all the kingdoms and the glory of this world. That one, that's the one, His reign, the one who whispered in the ear of Adolf Hitler, the one who whispered in the ear of the atheist Mao Zedong and Joseph Stalin. You can kill more, he said. You can kill more people. You can kill more people. You can do more damage. The one who's been whispering, kill, 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 throughout all of history. The one who's whispering on the east coast of this country, you can do more. That same one who runs the kingdoms of this world will be defeated. He will stand toe-to-toe with our Christ, and He is nothing. He is nothing in comparison. He's not an equal, just in a bad shape. He is nothing. He will lose His kingdom. There's a book called Rules for Radicals that had been put out by a man named Saul Alinsky. And in the preface, in the dedication, it says, this is dedicated to the original rebel, Lucifer, who won himself a kingdom. That's who he dedicates his book to. That's a famous book amongst many of the politicians who run this country. And it's right. He's the original rebel. He won a kingdom. It's just incomplete. Because here's the rest of the story. He loses that kingdom. And that kingdom becomes the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. And He shall reign forever and ever. Now, amen. That makes you want to say hallelujah. It makes you want to say the hallelujah chorus. It makes you want to say, hey, Bert, play the hallelujah chorus. Almost something like that. Because He's going to reign forever and ever. And I don't know if the hallelujah chorus is ever going to come up. But if it does, you'd rather hear it than me. It may not have any volume. Let it. It sounds so regal. We have an audience of one. Can y'all get highlighted up there? Amen. Hey. That dude has a big old first name, but his last name is Handel. And he came up with that concert. This is the verse he was looking at. You know, because in there, he quotes 11:15 just verbatim, and it just inspires hallelujah. You know, there's only one place in the whole New Testament where the word hallelujah is used. It's in chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, part of what I read to you. Four times it's used. It says hallelujah, and it's talking about how the Lord God will come and reign here. Now, let me acknowledge something. A lot of times we get very fearful of the judgment of God. We get very afraid in this right. But those who are in Christ need to understand the sufficiency that comes in Christ. He has brought us into the family of God. Y'all, we don't need to have any sympathy for the devil, no matter what the Rolling Stones say. We don't need to have any sympathy for those who are out. We need to witness to them. We need to preach the gospel. We need to love them and pray for them. But let me tell you something. It's almost as if the church has taken side on the sinner and is hoping that the Lord God doesn't come to rule and reign because we like the way things are and we've taken sympathy on the other side. Have sympathy, have love, have compassion, have empathy, but don't switch sides. Believe me, your misguided sympathy is nothing compared to the compassion of the Lord our God. You want to know who wants to see lost people saved more than any missionary in the world? It's the God who sends the missionaries into the world. The one who said, go into all the nations and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. That one, Him, He wants more people saved than you'll ever want people saved. So be careful that we don't get so fearful about the judgment and the rule and the reign and the return of Christ that we end up kind of like, well, you know, making excuses for sin, making excuses for people who don't believe, compromising the gospel with the mismatched, misinformed, crazy stuff that people try to put out there. You know, I teach at the school, and this, I was talking to some of the professors, and they go, well, you know, the Bible, it was written, you know, to control the masses. It wasn't written to control the masses. I ain't buying that junk. It's a love letter from our God that tells us, even though you've rejected me, you come back and I show you the way of redemption. And it's found in this word. The truth is found in this word. And you know, I'm not buying any of those things. Let's not sympathize with those things. And let's remember. I don't want to bring up your bad memories. I'm going to bring up some of my bad memories. From a young age, I knew things weren't right in this world. They just weren't right. Bad things happened. I was in my apartment. We were in Detroit, Michigan. And a man knocked on the door. We didn't know it was a man, but knock came to the door. So my mom opened the door, and the man kicked the door in. And we did. He punched my mom in the face, and he knocked her down. He took out a knife, and she got the knife back in the sheath, and they battled back and forth. And he punched her, and she got hit on the head. I watched as an adult female sat there panicked and hurried or worried, and I watching my mom get beat. I was 4 years old watching my mom get beat in my living room. And I realized there's things wrong in this world. You know what I realized? I couldn't do anything about it. I had to watch the person I loved most in this earth as a four-year-old get beat in front of me. And I was helpless to do anything. And I watched out of fear somebody who could have helped do nothing. And I realized this stuff can't go on like this forever. We need somebody who can set this stuff right. There's people in this room who have faced far worse than I faced. There's people in this world who've watched things happen, injustices, inequities happen to them. Historically, it's mind-boggling to think about the bloodshed and how this world has been corrupted through violence, through idolatry, through things that dishonor God. It's mind-boggling to think of what's going on. And I'm going to tell you something. I look forward to the day when God, who is just and right and pure and good and holy and powerful, sets things right. You want to get excited about a campaign? The Church of Jesus Christ ought to be campaigning for Jesus Christ to be Lord over all. And you know what? It's going to happen. It's not like we got to worry. I wonder if He'll win. He wins. He wins. He wins forever and ever. We're going to vote this year. I'm calling it the beast from the east vote. And it don't matter. And you can take that for how it's worth. There ain't a dog in that fight. And we ought to vote. You ought to vote. Don't get me wrong. But let me tell you this. God's plan for this country will prevail, however you want to say it, is going to win. Christ is going to rule the kingdoms of this world. And that's the bottom line. And church, we're not called to be on the campaign committee for everybody else. We're called to be on the campaign committee for Jesus Christ. And He's the only one who can set things straight no matter what anybody else promises. No matter how lofty and how good, we're going to make something great again. Let me tell you, no matter how great anything can be again, it will come to an end because there's only one kingdom that will last forever and ever. And there might be somebody really haughty who don't believe in God trying to come after us if they get elected. But I'm going to tell you something, the enemies of God will dry up and wear out. He's eternal. They cannot defeat Him. We need to be on His bandwagon. Y'all understand? We need to be in full-out worship. Oh, my goodness. I had so many songs to sing. There's one that says, sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. There's that song, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. The second part. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. There's a song called One Day, and we used to sing it when we were studying the book of Revelation. We'd sing this hymn before every song. We had like a song for that class, and this is the fifth verse. One day, the trumpet will sound for His coming. One day, the skies with His glories will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one bringing glorious Savior. This Jesus is mine. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. And one day, He's coming. Oh, glorious day. Y'all, don't be ashamed of worshiping the Lord our God, because He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Don't you be ashamed for the passion that you have for the Lord God. It's not that our passions are too strong and we're driving the lost away. It's that our passions aren't near strong enough. Our light's not near bright enough. Our salt has about lost all its flavor because we've tried to homogenize into this world, into this culture, saving our dignity, saving our comfort, saving our convenience. And it's time that we stand for Christ before men and we fall on our knees before Christ, the God of all men. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for how You love us. Thank You for this time, and You are worthy. Worthy and wonderful. Worthy of worship and praise. Thank You, Father, Creator, Savior, Sustainer. And Lord, would You help us? Help us at Christ Community Church in Grenada, Mississippi, to take a stand to worship You, to realize that a day in this life, if we have worshiped You, Creator God, we've accomplished something. We've done something. Not something that goes to our account as if some kind of merit, but something that has given our day true value and worth. Help us to live, to work, to breathe as if we are always worshiping You, knowing that You see everything, You know everything. And Father, we want to be on the bandwagon. Lord, we want to be a part of that. Just horse riding when You come in, Father, with You in Your bandwagon, praising You. Jesus, You're so worthy of glory. You didn't get any glory while You're here. Everybody treated You like dirt. And Father, it was the greatest injustice that You took upon Yourself that You might save our sorry souls. But Father, would You help us now to worship You and long to see Christ get the glory He deserves. Lord, love us. Thank You for loving us. We need You. We need Your mercy and Your grace. And Father, fill us up with Your love and a love for You. Just keep your eyes closed and your heads bowed. If you're here and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, can I tell you something? Either you're going to Him because your life, which is short, is going to come to its end, or He's coming back here. One way or the other, you're going to see Him, meet Him face to face. And you need to be ready because He is the King. He's not a king. He is the King. And when you see Him, you don't want to have excuses. You don't want to say, well, I thought I would later on. I figured maybe someday I would try to give my life to Christ when I settled down and all that stuff. You need to be able to say, thank You, Lord. I'm so glad to see You, my Lord and my Savior, and worship at His feet. If you're a Christian and you've not been walking with the Lord, you need to walk with the Lord. He's worthy of your worship. Your whole heart and mind and soul and strength. That's how we love the Lord. That's how He said to love Him. If you need to do business with God today, you come up here. He's God. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what you want to say. I don't got to tell you a prayer. He knows. You come up here and you tell Him if you have business with Him. This time is yours. Father God, in this time, would You just glorify Yourself. Draw us together. Make us a worshiping church. We can't worship You if we ain't been born again. So if anybody's here not been born again, Father, help them. Help them to be born again. Father, do that work of miracle of salvation in their life, that they don't go through this life pointless and go on to destruction without hope. Lord, we love You, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, man. Yeah, did you kind of get the sway in there?
Yeah.
The whole world. Oh, man, that's good. I'm going to ask the ushers if they come forward to take the morning offering. As they come, I just want to remind you, I told you we can worship God with the fruit of our lips and the praise from our mouth and sing, but we could also, we give tithes and we give offerings as an act of worship. He is worthy. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you that over the most prized possession of this world, you are worthy to receive our tithes, our offerings, because you are greater. You are the provider. And we turn this to you by way of worship. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Tonight we're having family worship with Michael O'Brien. It's a night of worship. I think that's how he's billing it. And so if you're ticketed to come, come. If you don't have a ticket, I mean, we're going to bounce you all so fast out of here. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Anyways, we want if you are able, you all have been told, park off yonder. We'll come get you. We'll figure out a way. But so glad that you're here. So glad to have guests here, friends. And y'all remember on Wednesday night, we come together and we pray. And we're also doing a series that's looking at false worship in our world. We're doing a series on worship on Sunday morning is the true, real deal. We're going to talk about how counterfeits have tried to come in on that on Wednesday, okay? And so you come to that at 6:30. And can't think of anything else. Dr. Lowell Ingram, would you close us in prayer? That's you, right? You Dr. Lowell Ingram? You look just like him. Hey, I'm glad you're here. Are you a doctor? You are now. I'm going to pray for us. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, man. You look just like somebody I know. I'm glad that you're here, too. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for forgiving me for being an idiot. And Lord, we do love you, and we give you all the praise, and we're thankful for what you're doing. And Father, for all those who are going to be gathered tonight, just pack this place out that we might have, not that we'll brag on how many people are here, but there will be many voices to lift up your praise. And Father, we do love you, and we give you all the honor, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I love you all, and thank you for letting me be your pastor. Ready? Break.